Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Guys, what's up? Oh, wow. I thought I couldn't get any cringier. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for mostly Paleobites, this show, a little bonus content for my other podcast, The Ritwit, if that's still going on. Who knows at this point? For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about nobody's favorite Pixar movie, The Good Dinosaur. More like The Mediocre Dinosaur. Am I right? Got him. So we discussed that, we rate it, fun stuff. Sorry if you're a fan of that movie, because we're not very nice to it. But, you know, hey, opinions, they're a wonderful thing. If we all viewed art the same way, the world would be a very boring place. And I say that as someone who genuinely likes the movie 10,000 BC, a movie that has 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. So really, like whatever you like. So, link is in the description, where you can sign up to the Patreon. Thank you for your support, and have a wonderful day. Yay, yay.
Roar! Growl, snarl, bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast with giant gaping fenestrae in our cranial cavities.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, cranial cavities. My apologies. There's a giant fenestrae in there. I don't know what's going on. My name is Matthew Donald, and each week I'm a rotating series of guest co-hosts. Talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week I am joined by classic guest co-host, one of the first guest co-hosts I've ever had. In fact, we're recording in the building where we recorded the very first episode of Paleobites in general.
Yes, yes.
It's Stephen Curro. How are you?
I'm great. Pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Yes, and it's a pleasure to be back in the Old Town Library in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah, yes, exactly. A bit far. It was about 1.5 hour drive, but it's worth it in the name of dinosaurs.
Yes.
And also Taco John. It's worth it for Taco John.
There you go. Perfect.
I got some before on the way up here.
Yeah, so everybody good. Wins.
Tex-Mex. Love it. Oh, I actually did some... I'm immediately going to tank. My friend and I were talking about this. We asked, are breakfast burritos Mexican? And then they're New Mexican. So that's the first... The term was coined in like the 70s in a New Mexican diner.
Really?
It's a thing called fusion, anyways. It's like eggs and sausage and other American breakfast things, but wrapped in a tortilla, you know.
So that's where that came from. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now I really want one.
Yeah, no, it's good.
I didn't have lunch today, so I'm really.
Well, I apologize. I'll try not to talk about food too much.
It's okay.
But like to talk more about food, like so, it's just interesting, like you know, because I
I'm trying to learn as best as I can. But, you know, people talk about, like, appropriation and, like, you know, how you shouldn't, you know, try to appropriate, especially if you don't understand what's going on. But I wonder why food is an exception.
I think it's because we can all relate to food.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
We eat it.
Not all of us can relate to, like, dreadlocks. Or, like,
if it's the intention of... If it's something that's, like, really, really cultural. Like, if you took bread and wine that people use for communion and you started, like... You know, that's a very spiritual thing. You turn that into like a fun dining meal. That's gonna annoy
you. You know, actually, when I was younger, I went more to church with my family because I grew up more slightly more religious than I am now.
Yeah.
And at the communion, the Methodist church I went at, they during communion they dipped the bread in the grape juice, and that was so good. I would consider doing that for a party. Just having a big vat of grape juice and dip some bread and just body and blood of Christ.
I come from a Christian background, though.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
So...
But, I mean, like, you know, I make oyaku porridge. It's a Japanese rice porridge.
Yeah.
I am not Japanese, but, hey, they make good porridge and I want it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I guess, like, to say, like, oh, you're a master of this kind of cooking, if it's not the kind of cooking from a place that you're from.
Right.
You're not a master. I mean, you could be really good at it, but you're not, like... the original sort of thing, but anyways, it's like we're going into like what's Australian cooking? I guess it's just kangaroo meat. They do eat kangaroos there. Here it's a very dry meat.
I want to say shrimp. No.
Shrimp.
I know they have a lot of cattle. They have steak and stuff.
That's true. Although that's not from Australia.
I don't know what like the.
Yeah, don't just think about Outback Steakhouse.
I don't know what the. The indigenous peoples there traditionally eat, honestly. I'd have to look that up.
Yeah. Well, they had some really cool stuff there. I mean, also dingoes even predate the Aboriginals. I looked this up. Well, they're around the same time, but they were not, like, brought in by the Aboriginals. They came there on their own, I think, somehow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought people brought them.
I'm fairly certain. I don't remember. I think they were brought in. They came in on their own. They're definitely, you know, like, a wild dog. They're not feral, considered feral in any way anymore, so...
We'll verify at some point.
Yes, again, I just know that I come from a place of ignorance. Like, I try not to do that. But in terms of a dog-like creature that definitely was native, and yes, was, I mean, I guess that's true of anything that we talk about in this show, it's the thylacine, also known as the Tasmanian tiger, or specifically speaking, thylacinus. Sort of like how, like, you know, the mammoth is technically mammuthus.
Yeah. Like, a lot of animals are like that. They just add us on the end. Or,
humanus.
Or they took a word with us and decided, let's just have that and take the us off.
It's like that one. Did you ever see Captain N, the Game Master? That is like that Nintendo-sponsored cartoon show. It was terrible in the 80s. They had Kid Icarus as one of the characters in it, and he always had Icus at the end of everything. This is really bad, Icus.
Kid Icus.
It's like,
that's terrible.
Oh, it's the 80s, you know, where like everyone had a dumb like gimmick or catchphrase.
I only know Kid Icarus from Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah. Sort of like how in Super Smash Brothers there's all those anime people. like who are these people from? Who the hell is Shulk? do you know who Shulk was before Super Smash Brothers?
Shulk?
Yeah, I don't even know who he is now, honestly.
Nah, I don't know that one either.
Yeah, he's like an anime boy with a sword. Like, weeb crap. Anyway, so Thylacinus. Typed as a Deiseuromorphian, the order of marsupials comprising most of its carnivorous species, such as the quolls, dunards, numbats, and the Tasmanian devils. Mm-hmm. Size 3.1 to 4.5 feet, just 1 to 1.3 meters long, 30 to 66 pounds, or 14 to 30 kilograms. Diet carnivore, time late Pleistocene to late Holocene, 2 million years ago to, and this is a first for the show, Sunday, September 6th, 1936.
Wow.
When Benjamin, the last captive thylacine, died in the Hobart Zoo in Tasmania, Australia.
Aw, oh, poor thing.
There have been unconfirmed sightings in the decades since in the wild, so there's a teeny tiny chance it might actually still be alive, or it may have died in the 80s. Mm. But it's so teeny tiny that it's still officially declared extinct, so it qualifies for paleobites.
Fair enough.
Yeah, though. Location, Australia. It used to be in the mainland but for a bit, but even before people came, it was reduced to Tasmania, the island down there. Described in 1808, pop culture appearances, the TV documentaries Australia's Improbable Animals, Stranger Than Nature, Animal X, and Extinct or Alive.
Ooh.
Apparently, it's in the background of some museums in the episode of the cartoon shows Batman the Animated Series and Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Huh.
The video game Zoo Tycoon, Extinct Animals, and Wild Thornberry's Animal Adventures. That show. And quite a few others. So, here's how I'm going to start the body of this. Humans suck. Humans destroy things. Humans destroy each other, and humans destroy the world.
We're a messed up species.
We got so many examples of this if you want to learn more, like wars, politics, all social media, and fan reactions to stuff like the all-female Ghostbusters movie.
I actually like that movie.
I've heard it was pretty good, but the way some people are like...
I was just like 10,000 BC. Don't listen to the critics.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good movie.
I never saw the movie, but I heard that they don't just do like proton packs. They also have other gadgets, right? Like, too, they have other stuff. That's cool.
It's fun.
Like, Ghostbusters Afterlife just looks like, hey, you like the first one? Here it is again.
I don't know.
Anyway, do you ever see Ghostbusters Afterlife?
I didn't see the most recent Afterlife one, no.
Ivan Reitman did just die recently, but his son directed that new one, Jason Reitman, because he's also a director, so. Anyways, Hollywood nepotism. Another example of this, though, the extinction of this wonderful marsupial called Thylacinus, well, commonly known as the Thylacine or the Tasmanian Tiger. Now, to be fair, it already got extinct from the Australian mainland before the British settled there, let me specify.
Yes.
Its range reduced only to the island of Tasmania, so we can't blame colonialism for that particular problem, at least.
Okay.
That's 1 point for you, English colonialism. What's your tally at? -2 billion? Anyways, before we get to how this creature ended, let's go with how it began. Thylacinus first appeared around 2 million years ago, having evolved from the main carnivorous group of mammals. It appears very dog-like. In fact, almost disturbingly so. And this is a great example of what's known as convergent evolution.
The book that I have here, the Princeton Field Guide to Prehistoric Mammals, actually calls it a Tasmanian wolf.
Oh, yeah, because yeah, Tasmanian tiger, yeah. I think it's only called that because it has stripes.
It's yellow. It was yellow and striped like a tiger.
Yeah, yeah, but it does have a dog face. Like kangaroos, the tail smoothly extended from the body, rather than like just having like, you know, where the rump is and then the tail coming out there. It was just like a dinosaur tail.
That's
pretty cool. And also, like kangaroos, it could perform a bipedal hop, potentially for pouncing on prey or reacting when alarmed. Another odd physical feature is its jaws, which were rather weak compared to dog jaws, but its main prey were birds, particularly emus, the Tasmanian native hen, and their hollow bones. Again, the reason why dinosaurs were somewhat lightweight for their size made them much more suitable prey for those more moderate bite force.
Wow.
So the main weird thing about this jaws, though, is they can open them up to about like 80 degrees, which is the widest of any known mammal and rivaling that of snakes.
I've seen videos of it. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's wider than a hippo, yeah?
Yeah, it is wider. It's the widest of any known mammal. Yeah.
That's insane.
Because, like, unlike any other prehistoric animal on the show, there's video footage of this thing. You can find it on YouTube. And I was showing this, because originally I was going to do this episode with friend of the show, Lexi, because her brother, her sister and her brother-in-law live in Australia.
Because
her brother-in-law's Australian, and they moved there. So I thought she might want to talk about it. And I showed her the video, and then when the thylacine started yawning, she was like, nope.
Too weird, huh?
She was like, that's freaky. I'm like, fair enough.
That's hilarious.
So,
no, I've always been fascinated by the thylacines because, you know, they're just such a really bizarre, I say this about everything, they're a bizarre animal.
Yeah.
They're so uncannily like a canine. They were probably intelligent to a point.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had them until recently.
Yeah. Again, there's video footage of this thing. Like, in fact, like, you know, when I have, like, the picture of the creature on the side of this episode, I might have the picture here be a photograph of it. Like,
right.
I think that'd be something else. So,
In fact, in the book, they have a little sketch, and they have pictures of the last living thylacines. One of them is Ben. There's two in here.
Yeah,
so
Benjamin.
One of them is Benjamin. I don't know who the other one is.
And I feel bad for them because this was like a 1930s zoo, man. Ugh.
Yeah,
it's all just concrete and like they just dumps meat in there and then rake up the poo sometimes.
You see videos of the enclosure. It's not like what you would see at the Denver Zoo today.
Yeah. Like zoos, some people are still against zoos. They're definitely a lot better now than they used to be, especially when they're used for conservation. and trying to use rehabilitation programs. And now the animals are pretty happy, I think. I mean, I don't know. They could be bored. I guess that's why we give them toys and other stuff. But but they don't have predators. They don't have to die from predators. So
zoos have come a long way.
And yes.
I mean, while there is a lot of negative press around them, they do help invigorate kids. Mm-hmm. What I mean to say is they invigorate a sense of nature within children.
Yes, exactly. So, it's much better than someone like SeaWorld, like they did with the orcas.
Oh, God,
yeah. Yeah, so, like, yeah. But, yeah, so, but no, zoos have gotten a lot better, though. And so I feel kind of bad for these. Like, I wonder if we had found them now, would they have, I guess we would have focused more on, you know, making them survive more. But rather than back then, they'd be like, oh, come on, come on, look at this weird creature.
Right, right. Step right up to see the last living.
Yeah, last living thing. What click prod it with a cattle prod. Watches it, opens its wide mouth in agony.
So I guess, you know, humans aren't quite so terrible if we're slowly learning from our mistakes.
We're slowly getting better. Ever so slowly.
Not as fast as I'd like, but...
I'd like to think that, like, the reason why they keep saying, like, oh, if we don't do something about climate change in 10 years, it's past the point of no return. And, like, some people are like, oh, but we said that 20 years ago. And I'm like, maybe we're slowly getting better or postponing it.
Maybe. I like that.
Because we are slowly getting green. If you look at, like, New York City pictures of it in the 70s versus now.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, my God, it's so much better.
Like, was it the St. Louis, I think? Yeah. Like, the river was, like, brown.
Yeah.
It was awful. It was sludge.
Yeah, and didn't it catch fire?
Yes.
Well, yeah, because like, it was so polluted.
But
the water caught on fire.
They have cleaned it up.
Yeah.
I mean, in New York, again with New York, they cleaned up the water and the waters around there to the point where whales are starting to come back.
And the Hudson?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's awesome.
Like, and the, you know, the Hudson River was like that part. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
So, I mean, you know.
Well, during, like, well, one thing that made me feel really good about, like, if we got our act together, like, during the first few months of quarantine, when we stopped moving around and we were really isolated where we were, man, nature came back fast.
Uh-huh.
Dolphins were swimming in Venice, like...
It's amazing.
I always thought it would take so long for it to recover, but no, bam!
Uh-huh. Like, we're just, they're like, finally, we have breathing room.
And then they're like, wait, no, nope.
But, yeah. You know, so the Tasmanian tiger / wolf is a bad moment in human history.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's encouraging to see that we can learn from these mistakes.
Exactly. Like, here's the sad part. Is like, when we talk about why us dirty, filthy humans made this thing extinct. So, when humans first settled in Tasmania, their sheep were reportedly attacked by thylacines, which made these settlers put bounties on hunting and killing them. The Europeans also brought their own dogs, which went wild and went feral, which competed with thylacines to their similar ecological niche. And since they had stronger jaws, they could, you know, kill more prey than it could, and like, but they also, that just means that, like, oh, they left the weak-jawed ones to the thylacines. No, they still ate those too. So, and also cleared out their habitat for colonies and wiped out its main prey, and this combined with diseases brought over as well, severely reduced the thylacine population until the last one in the wild was killed in 1930 by a farmer. Captive populations lived on for another few years, but the last one, a male named Benjamin, died in 1936, and the zoo was unable to find a replacement. Despite this, the thylacine actually remained a status of endangered until the 1980s, since an international standard states that an animal can't be declared extinct until 50 years have passed without a confirmed record.
Oh, wow.
So, unconfirmed sightings have been reported in the decades since, and the potential survival of this species is a common topic in cryptozoological culture.
Mm-hmm.
Alas, nothing is proven, and if the species is still considered extinct, if it were to be alive, its population would be severely limited, unless it's only a matter of time before it goes extinct anyway. Unless we manage to find one and breed them. But even then, we'd be really inbred if we bred, like...
I mean, maybe at that point we could... on rare occasions, they will exhume an entire population of an animal if it's really small,
uh-huh,
and put it in a preserve or something. So, you know, maybe we could relocate
them. There's a teeny, teeny, tiny, tiny, teeny, tiny chance there's still one out there, but it's looking increasingly unlikely.
There's always the chance, but it's not so big of a chance.
More likely than it being alive now is that it lived until like the 70s or 60s or something, and then it went extinct without us knowing about it.
Right, right.
So, usually the show is funny, though, so let's end with a joke. Have you seen a thylacine? That's more of a rhyme than a joke.
Well, I have seen a thylacine. I feel like we can make a nursery rhyme out of this.
This is also a restaurant, but also a sign of encouragement. Go out in the woods. Have you seen a thylacine? No, you have not. Have you seen a thylacine? No, you have not. Have you seen a thylacine? Yes, I have. Where? Over there. Why? There.
There you go. You got it.
There. Let's go.
We need to get Natasha to illustrate it. And you've got yourself a children's book.
Have you seen a thylacine? All right. No one steal that. My parents are always bugging me like, man, you should write a children's book. I'm like, the episode is for young adults. Like, you should write a children's book. I'm like, fine. All right, so I'm writing Have You Seen a Thylacine?
There you go. Perfect. I bet you could write a good middle grade novel.
Yeah, no, I thought that too. I've gone back and forth whether Megazoke is middle grade or young adult. Apparently it's written like young adult, but the subject matter is more middle grade.
It's more young adult.
It's written like young adult. Oh. The subject, like the whole thing of talking dinosaurs.
I thought you said it backwards in
my
head.
It's written like a young adult book, but its subject matter is more middle grade as well. Mm-hmm. Although, I don't know, I think young adults can handle it fine.
I think plenty of young adults would get a kick out of it.
Yeah,
sure.
I think so too. But also middle grade too, if you can read something that big. But let's rate Thylacine. That 1 out of 65 million and give it a salute, I guess. For
yes.
50 million at least, like 55 million. This is just a cool creature. Imagine the video footage of it.
I would agree, 55 mil.
Yeah, like, okay, I said I don't want to do multiples of five. 56 mil, I'm thinking, for me. You can keep yours at 55 if you want. It's not like anyone's writing this down.
I kind of want to put it at 60 mil just because I feel bad for it.
Yeah, okay.
Like, for what we've done to it.
You know how there's the whole white guilt thing? I feel like I have human guilt.
I have so much human guilt.
My God. That's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact us at mattsd@mattsdonkreator.com for any other questions to either co-host. Let us know if you have seen Thylacine. And if you have, please, God, save it.
Yes, save it.
What if we find one and then we can't find another? Or what if we find one and then we find another one? They're both males.
You know, they do have specimens of thylacines, like, preserved. And there has been talk of cloning them.
Jurassic Park, this is where you should be.
There you go.
Stop trying to bring those stupid mammoths back. Mammoths, they had their shot. the world is not fit for mammoths anymore. Thylacines, though, like... I don't know. Oh, I guess if we did bring it back, well, there's still dogs and other stuff there. It's not like we'd really be in the wild again. I mean, unless they had, like, national parks, I guess we would now. So.
There are national parks in Tasmania.
Yeah, okay, well, never mind. Okay, there we go. Bring it back, put it in there.
There you go.
So, all right. If you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at MatthewDonCareer on Facebook, at MatthewDon64 on Twitter, and MatthewDon64 on Instagram. I have a book series on Amazon, Megazoke, available for print and Kindle. If you buy enough sales of it, Have You Seen the Thylacine?
There you go.
Or you can let me know if it's young adult or middle grade. I don't know. It's one of the reasons why it's been difficult to get it to publishers, I think. I don't even know what it is. It's my book. It's 110% my book.
Yeah, sometimes really good books don't fit in a box.
Yeah, they break boundaries, which I guess publishers hate. They like things to fit in a narrow box of marketability.
Exactly.
Anyways, what about you? What are you written? This isn't a written. That's my other show, which I'll talk about in a sec.
I have written multiple short stories and poems. You can find them in The Fifth Die, Sci-Fi Quest, Daily Science Fiction, a few others. My novelette, The Spark, is also available through Hear the Publishing.
Yes.
You can find that and more at my website, StephenCicurro.com.
Stephen Cicurro.
Yay! I did it without getting tongue-tied. Yay!
Cool, good job, good stuff. And like I said, I have a podcast called The Writ Wit, where two twits talk about writing. Go listen to it, guys. I love that show.
It's really funny,
yeah.
And especially if you want to be a writer.
Yeah, it's good stuff, I guess. Anyways, that's it for this week. Same thing to every episode of Paleo Bites.
The next episode will be more funny.
Yeah, have you seen the fallacy? Bye.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.